I've always been interested in it, and I used to pick up books all the time at the old Lincoln Library, the West Branch, out on West Washington, because it was on my way to school. Sometimes I'd walk. I went to Grant Middle School, so sometimes I'd walk and stop by the library and pick up whatever books I could. And then when I was a teenager, I actually had an experience. My parents used to collect antiques. And one day my parents brought home a piece of furniture, which was an old trunk. And turns out it was haunted. And we had all kinds of things happen in our house. And my mom actually was home alone with it most of the time. So she started having experiences in the house and was telling me and my dad about it. And I was open-minded about it because I believed in these things. And of course, my dad didn't. We had all kinds of things happen. Come home and find the door open, hear noises. We had electronic equipment turn on by itself all the time, radios, TVs. And my mom figured it out. She said, none of this stuff started happening until you brought this trunk into the house. She said, I didn't want it anyway. They got it at a garage sale. She said, I'm not going to sleep another night in the house until you take that thing out. So we took it out and set it out in our front yard for a couple days. Well, nothing happened. So since it was summertime, they figured, well, we better get this inside so it don't get rained on. So we took it over to my grandmother's house and put it in the garage. Well, come to find out later, my grandmother said that weird things were happening in the garage. She didn't really believe it, but she did say she heard noises out there and the lights would turn off and on. It just sparked my curiosity, so to say. And ever since then, I've just been trying to find out everything I can about paranormal things.
And so now you teach a class at Lincoln Land Community College that's a kind of a community outreach class on topics of the paranormal. Tell us about what kind of people, who seems to be interested in the class? Do you get a lot of skeptics, for instance, taking it?
You know, surprisingly not. It's just that skeptics, I guess, just if they're not interested in it, they just don't come. But actually get quite a few people that have actually had experiences themselves. As a matter of fact, this last class that I just taught, there was a family in there called named the Rudis family, and they just had actually A&E just came to their home. They live in Irving, Illinois, and they did a program on their house. They're just as fascinated by it as I am. I mean, I get excited about it because I could sit and talk for hours and hours. But
do you have any interest in winning over the skeptics out there, or does it matter to you that some people don't believe in the same things?
No, it doesn't really matter because, you know, sometimes the so-called professed skeptics are the ones that have the best stories because in their mind they don't want to believe it. But I don't know how many times I've heard, I don't really believe in this stuff, but let me tell you this story. And they go on and tell me this story that just blows my mind. And, you know, that's happened time and time again. So sometimes the people that claim to be skeptics just are not really skeptics. They just kind of don't want to believe what happened to them or what they experienced.
I'm speaking with Carl Jones. He's a paranormal investigator, and he teaches a class about the paranormal at Lincoln Land Community College. While we're on the topic of skeptics, what maybe are some of, in your mind, the most common misunderstandings when it comes from people who really don't believe in anything remotely paranormal?
Well, you know, you've always got the religious questions, you know, what happens. You know, some people think that when you die, you go to heaven or you go to hell, and that's your only choices. I'm a Christian, you know, I believe that there's, you know, this isn't the only life. And I think that when we're born, God gives us free will, and he doesn't rip that away from us when we die. So sometimes people stick around, you know, it's like they stay in this plane for a little while, and eventually they may move on. That's not uncommon. Other skeptics are just, you know, they don't see any scientific way that it could be or anything like that. I believe that, you know, we're all energy because that's kind of what drives us and keeps us going. And that energy doesn't die after when we die, when our bodies die. It just continues on.
And so you founded the Prairie Land Paranormal Consortium. Tell us a little bit about that group. It focuses on a large array of paranormal topics,
right? Yes, any and all things paranormal. It's a discussion group. It originally started back when I was a member of some different paranormal groups in town. And several of them, after we would have meetings, would gather at a friend's house and we would just sit around and talk more because we just wanted, we're all fascinated by it. So we'd talk and tell stories and have coffee and eat cookies and all that kind of stuff. So it kind of started out as just a small gathering at a house. Well, then it got bigger and bigger. And as I started teaching the paranormal classes at Lincoln Land several years ago, my students were saying, hey, I want to keep learning about this stuff, even after the class. My classes are four two-hour sessions. They just said, I want to learn more about this, and I just want to keep going in it. I want to do investigations. I want to keep learning about this topic. So I started a discussion group, which is the Prairie Land Paranormal Consortium. You can look us up on Facebook. And we have a Bigfoot expert that visits us regularly, Stan Courtney, who lives in this area. And he travels all across the country doing Bigfoot research. We talk about UFOs. We have several psychics that are with us on a regular basis. We cover all kinds of crazy stuff.
So maybe you can take us out here, Carl, on a story about a Springfield haunting that might be particularly interesting. Yeah.
Boy, you know, I've done so many places here in Springfield, and believe me, there's no lack of places that are haunted. There's even businesses here in Springfield that don't claim to be haunted, but we know they are because we hear stories from people that work there. Probably one of the scariest things that I've seen on an investigation is we were doing a house out off of just west of Springfield, out in the Bradford area, and we came across a house that the woman was experiencing all kinds of things, and we went and investigated the house. And a few of us were back in a back bedroom, and I had just walked into the room, and there was two women in there. And one of the women turned and said, we got to get out of here now. I mean, I don't know if she just sensed this or what. So I wasn't going to, you know, question her because she had been an investigator for a while. So I trusted what she said. She goes, we got to get out of here now. So we turned around and started heading up the hallway. Well, the girl, one of the girls that was in the room was right in front of me, and she was heading up the hallway. And all of a sudden, I saw her lurch forward because I was right behind her, and we were trucking. And she goes, ow. And then all of a sudden, she lurched forward again, and she goes, ow, something's pushing me. And I actually witnessed this, you know, and we stopped, and we were in the living room at this time. And she goes, something pushed me up the hallway. And she lifted up the back of her shirt, and in the middle of her back, up high in the middle of her back, there was a big red handprint where this thing had actually pushed her with such force. I almost knocked her down, and that was kind of frightening.